We call this Robin's Rendition of Ishmael by Daniel Quinn without Gorilla, a cut to the chase. In Quinn's book, Ishmael was a teacher of wisdom. He was also a gorilla. He advertised in the personal section of the newspaper for a particular student. The ad read, "Teacher seeks pupil, must have an earnest desire to save the world. Apply in person." The following dialogue contains the lessons without the specific characters of Ishmael and student. There are other characters utilized: the gods, mother culture, takers, and leavers. The ideas we are presenting today are engagement with life and death concerns. Quinn won the Turner Tomorrow Fellowship Award over 2,500 other entrants for creative and positive solutions to global problems. This is Daniel Quinn's provocative hypothesis about our species, Homo sapien, how we relate to our home, planet Earth, and our relationship to the gods. Remember, this is one man's opinion. Whether or not you agree with every word, this material begs us to examine current beliefs, practices, and assumptions about the human condition. This is necessary to move into a logical and harmonious way of being that is more sustainable and affords us the opportunity to be better stewards of planet Earth. Our cast includes the gods, omnipotent creators of possibility, an ever-present part of life with a multi-million-year perspective on the big picture. The gods are seen and unseen, known and unknown. Mother culture, the field guide for the takers. Consumer extraordinaire, ethnocentric, didactic, self-focused creator and preserver of our modality, permeating every form of expression, public and private. The takers, the corporate cowboys, always on the fast track to better, quicker, more. Instant gratification with minimal investment. Looking out for me and mine, everyone else can take care of themselves. The takers are all of us, in every country, and we call ourselves civilized. The prime example, the one addressed in this presentation, is of course our own United States. And the leavers, indigenous peoples who consciously connect to life, nature, and the cosmos, rather than exempting themselves from natural currents and rhythms. There are very few indigenous leavers left in the world, particularly compared to 200 years ago. These beings have gathered here to discuss their unique, diverse, and individual points of view about how this world works.
I am called a leaver. My home, planet Earth, started out billions of years ago, as the gods well know. My fellow leavers and I, hunter-gatherers, have lived harmoniously with nature for over 3 million years. Well, we are not always in harmony with nature. Sometimes we are wasteful, but mostly we are in harmony. Mother culture calls us primitive. We only use what the plants and animals that we need to eat today. We do not store food or lock it up. There's plenty to go around for our tribe and all of our non-human friends. We are still hanging on, even today, but barely.
I am Mother Culture. I costume myself as the walking, talking manifestation of our culture in the United States, which is consumer extraordinaire, of course. In the United States, I consist of institutional churches, the media, politics, Hollywood, the educational systems, industry, commerce, finance, and Western medicine. All of these have mostly old world values based on the premise that humans are separate from all the rest of nature. Overshadowing and underlying each of these is consumerism. My voice has been heard in your ears since the day you were born, and in your parents' ears before you. I have been telling you a mythic story of how things came to be the way they are. As Joseph Campbell says, myth is the source of all religion. One culture's religion is another culture's mythology. I have been telling you and your 6 billion brothers and sisters how humans, the world, and the gods can and should interrelate.
We are the gods who set up the laws of nature. The takers have so mutated them that planet Earth, the flora and fauna, the water, and air are all at risk of a catastrophic ending.
I am a taker. We takers do just that. We take in order to satisfy our needs and desires and are often ruthless about it and ignore the consequences of our actions. We takers broke away from the levers 10 millenniums ago. Our story began with the birth of totalitarian agriculture. We grew more food than we could eat. We stored it and locked it up. Levers never do that. Mother Culture, you have confused us with mixed messages. Some religions tell us to propagate more and more. Some chastise us for the world being overpopulated. Farmers and ranchers want to cut down forests for grazing and kill off coyotes, mountain lions, and other animals to protect their beef cattle. Another part of society wants to save forests, protect all species of animals, and encourage eating plants. Some industries want to drill for oil anywhere and everywhere, like in the Arctic Circle and in national parks and monuments. Other cultural influences say, no, no, no. What are we takers to do? We like more, better, faster, bigger. We get blamed for the deterioration of the ozone layer, polluting the rivers, oceans, and outer space, destroying the rainforests and leading many species toward extinction, maybe even humans. In order to live with this constant ambiguous haranguing of yours, Mother Culture, we put our shoulders to the wheel, devote ourselves to our work, stupefy ourselves with liquor and drugs, and muse ourselves with TV and porn, and try not to think too hard about what kind of influence we have and what kind of world we are leaving our children.
To go back to the story, I have been telling you about how things came to be the way they are. 13 billion years ago, the universe began with a big bang. 5 billion years ago, your solar system was born. 4 billion years ago, life appeared in the chemical broth of your ancient oceans. Bacteria and microorganisms evolved into higher forms, amphibians, reptiles, mammals. 1 million years ago, humans appeared. Creation came to an end when humans evolved. The pinnacle had been reached. Humanity is the climax of the whole cosmic drama of evolution.
Our religions make no bones about it. Humans are the end product of creation. Humans are the creatures for whom all the rest was made. This world, this solar system, this galaxy, the universe itself. We believe the world was created for us, not jellyfish or iguanas. We regard the world as a sort of human life support system. Since the world was made for us, we can control it and do whatever we want to with it. That is exactly what we have been doing for the last 10,000 years, ever since we settled down and planted seeds in the Fertile Crescent.
For 1 million years, we have lived as though the world was made for jellyfish, wombats, lions, and us. The natural law is that A's are eaten by B's, B's are eaten by C's, and the C's are eaten by the A's. There is no hierarchy among these food classes. It's all perfectly democratic and friendly. Well, at least impersonal. The laws of nature are sustainable, and generally, we follow them. This lifestyle tends to be peaceful and without stress because all plants and animals know the rules of the game.
Back to the history of the takers. Once they broke away from hunting and gathering, and plowed the land, the nut was cracked, so to speak. The taker's rise was meteoric. Settlement gave rise to the division of labor, and then to technology, trade, commerce, mathematics, literacy, and science. Why, without humans, the world was in chaos. Nothing was organized or controlled. The taker's wage, a never-ending battle to control and dominate all of life on this planet.
Ah, yes, we are conquering the deserts. We are conquering the oceans. We are conquering the atom, the elements, and outer space. We are fulfilling our destiny and any consequences of our actions, such as the extinction of biological species or the depletion of natural resources, are not tragedies. They are just the price of doing business and surviving. We takers have a brief life of glory, rather than a long, obscure, boring life like you leavers. We are cast as the enemy of the world, just because we want to take advantage of our abundant natural resources. They are here, and we figure that they are for us, to use as we like and consume as much as we want. In spite of all the mastery we have attained, and all of the technology we have developed, and all the advances we have made in civilizing the world, we are still blamed for bringing about the potential destruction of the world. If the technology we have developed got us into this so-called mess, then surely it can get us out of it and repair the damage we have supposedly wrought. We are not environmental pessimists. We totally trust the techno-solution future.
Part of me, the conscious part, sees warfare, brutality, poverty, injustice, corruption, and tyranny thriving under the takers. Also existing today are famine, oppression, nuclear proliferation, and pollution. Sometimes I just weep in despair to witness the actions of humanity.
We leavers, on the other hand, live by and with the laws of nature, such as aerodynamics, gravity, and changing seasons, and natural selection. Our lives are simple, and we live in direct contact with the gods and nature, minute by minute. There is no reason for greed or hoarding. We know all animals, including ourselves, are born, grow, live, and die. We do not try to adapt the environment to us, but rather we adapt to our environment. Everything stays in balance that way, and everything follows a natural life cycle. Our behavior is not always noble, but our intentions are.
I, symbolic of the gods, must say, takers, you have knowledge and wisdom mixed up in your minds. They are not the same thing. We have wisdom about life and death. You have knowledge of technology without the necessary wisdom to know how to use it. You are not alone on this planet. You must follow the laws of nature or perish as a species and take a lot of other species with you. Wake up! And realize that you depend upon millions of other species in the interactive community of life.
Takers, the unconscious part of me, which is very big and powerful politically, has been telling you that you are so important as human beings that the laws of nature do not apply to you, and that you don't have to follow them. You are far above them.
When you are on the brink of extinction, maybe then you will pay attention. These laws apply to all people, animals, and ecosystems. These laws make no distinction between humans and bees.
I believe that humans are the evolutionary end product, standing high and above all other things.
We gods did not put your planet in the center of the universe, where you think it belongs, because of your self-important attitude. We did not invent man as a special creation. Instead, we had you evolve from the common slime, just like the ticks and liver flukes. We did not exempt humans from the laws of nature. These laws govern you and the grubs, shrimps, rabbits, lions, and jellyfish. The good news is that the species who comply with the laws of nature can live forever. Even you ultra-destructive humans can live if you just change your attitudes and behavior.
When we settled down to agriculture, then industrialization, then technology, and now cyberspace, we have been accused of subordinating all lesser life forms. Agriculture subscribes to the single-minded pursuit of mass food production, fueled by enormous food surpluses. Rapid population growth occurred. This was followed by mega agricultural and geographical expansion that obliterated all other lifestyles in its path. We, encouraged by a large segment of mother culture, have thought this was a good thing and demonstrated the superiority of humans.
That's not how we see it. Our community is orderly. The green plants are food for the plant eaters, which are food for the predators. What is left over is food for the scavengers, who return nutrients to the earth, needed by the green plants. Round and round we go. Filmmakers love footage of gore and battle, but any naturalist will tell you that the species are not naturally in any sense at war with one another. You may compete, but not wage war on your competitors. The more species survive, the greater the chance of our own survival.
The rule of nature is, take what you need and leave the rest alone.
We deny our competitors access to food. It seems logical to us. It is humans' destiny to rule over the lesser animals. The Bible tells us so.
In the wild, the rule is, you may deny your competitors access to what you are eating, but you may not deny them access to food in general.
The takers obviously think that every square foot of this planet belongs to them. If they put it all under cultivation, their competitors, fellow planet dwellers, are just plain out of luck and will probably perish.
We created millions of species because great diversity is for survival of all. Throughout nature, except for human manipulation and aggression, when a plant or animal's population food supply increases, that population increases. As that population increases, its food supply decreases. And as its food supply decreases, that population decreases. This is a natural balance, automatic and dependable, when not interfered with.
A very influential part of mother culture, the institutional church, has preached to us for years that it is holy work to be fruitful and multiply. We have been doing that at a breakneck speed and consequently suppressing anything that gets in the way of our expansive development.
You wonder why you have overpopulation? Increasingly, more is not better. Many times, it's simply more. Where did you get the idea that unlimited growth is progress, or logical, or possible? In a human body, unlimited growth is called cancer. You are indulging in mathematical and biological fantasies. Increasing food production increases population. Bottom line.
Some of our technology, introduced into third world countries, like tractors to reduce the need for as many family members, and contraceptive products to reduce the number of pregnancies, have helped to reduce population.
The question for you is, will you be fast enough to save yourselves and other species from an ugly, premature end? Humans are not the rulers of the world. You can use your creativity to good advantage, but never think that you can or should control every single thing.
Cultural collapse and resurgence have come and gone many times. Things seem to be falling apart on this planet, and at the same time, one by one, we are waking up. Some technology is causing destruction and devastation. Other technology is being developed, which helps population figures drop and assists humans to live in harmony with nature. We cannot go back to days gone by. We must go forward with sensitivity to all of life and our environment, of which we are one small part. Can we look at that which is political and economic, and that which is spiritual as one and the same? Can we go beyond our differences to heal the diseases of our planet? Buckminster Fuller's vision was that we humans living on planet Earth are, in a very real sense, astronauts traveling through the cosmos every day and night on a closed system spaceship. Close your eyes and picture that. It really makes me want to take care of it. Each of us has our own perspective. This perspective was Daniel Quinn's. There is no right or wrong, just different points of view. This has been presented to stimulate our combined thinking outside the cultural box.